Amazon dash buttons could be the future of shopping, but what are they again? The details coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting in New York. And yes, Amazon is still trying to make the dash button a thing. The company plans to roll out dozens of new push-to-buy dash options, despite the fact that the concept has had some trouble catching on since launching over a year ago. Let's get the latest details from Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip, who joins us on the line right now. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
So first, can you remind folks as to how these dash buttons work? Because when they were first introduced in March of 2015, a lot of people thought it was kind of like an Onion headline, an April Fool's joke, because it was kind of strange sounding. Can you remind us how dash buttons work and why companies are utilizing them?
Sure. So Amazon sells these little buttons. They're about the size of a thumb drive, and they would have the brand on it. So it might say Tide, or it might say Gatorade. And you go into your Amazon Prime account, you have to be a Prime member, and you connect your Prime account to this device. And so when you're, you know, running low on detergent, you'll have this little button stuck to your washing machine. You press it, and it sends the information to your Prime account, and a couple days later, your bottle of detergent shows up at your door.
So I'm wondering, since it was introduced, how many people actually use it to place these kinds of things, to place orders?
Well, so one of the things about Amazon is they don't share that kind of information.
Okay.
So with Amazon, it's always really hard to know. So you have to rely on outside sources. So one of these firms that tracked, it's called Slice, and they have subscribers who send them information. And so they estimate about 50% of people who bought the buttons use it. Now, Amazon won't tell, you know, they don't share how many people actually bought the button.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's we know that more and more brands are signing up, but we don't know how many people are using them. Anecdotally, you know, there's certainly not overwhelming numbers of people who are writing in and saying, you know, these are the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Right. So, as far as the incentive for Amazon, what's the biggest driving factor in terms of using this kind of device?
Well, it's one more way to get people to use specifically Amazon to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have this button and you press it, you're only getting your product from Amazon. So it's kind of one more interface or one more porthole where the kind of staples and things everyone buys comes from Amazon and not the grocery store and not any other website. It comes from them.
And participating dash brands, right? They want an in, shall we say, with Amazon. What do they ultimately get out of this?
You know, we talked to some companies who did this. Now, particularly some of the smaller companies, they said, you know, Amazon is such a big company and they've done so many revolutionary things that there's a greater, like, we'd rather, this doesn't really make too much sense to us intuitively, but we don't want to miss out on the next big thing. You know, I had one CEO say, well, everybody thought, you know, there were a lot of people who said nobody would read a book on a tablet. You know, now look at the Kindle. So part of it is not being left out if Amazon really has hit on something. I think for a company like Procter & Gamble that has Tide, they're always looking for ways to get their brands out there. And one of the things is, because these buttons have the brand name on it, it's just one more, it's one more kind of piece of advertising in consumers' homes, almost regardless of whether they use it or not. It gets your product out there more.
That certainly makes sense. So the people that have actually used these devices, as far as ease of use goes, let's talk about some of the complaint surfacing. Anything that tends to come up specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think for people who maybe aren't as comfortable with technology or aren't as comfortable with Amazon, is there's a lot of complaints about the fact that you have to go in, you have to connect your Wi-Fi password. If your Wi-Fi password changes and you have 10 buttons, you need to kind of reconfigure everything. So that's a complaint. Another complaint is that you don't know, the prices on the product change. So we talked to one woman who said, well, I bought a Gatorade 12-pack, it was $9, and the next time I bought it was $22. So that's something people don't know. Now, Amazon will send you alerts that will tell you how much you spent, but the idea that you don't really know how much you're paying when you press the button is unnerving for some people.
Right. And just to be clear, we're not exactly certain yet of the specific Amazon Dash buttons coming out this week, correct?
No, and they're expected to do that later this week, if that was the plan. So if that happens, we should find out more later.
Gotcha. So it seems like the biggest hurdle here is Amazon actually getting folks to use these devices.
Well, I think one of the things that we heard from people, and only time will tell, is that, you know, and maybe this speaks to kind of how counterintuitive the buttons themselves are to some people. But a lot of people said, well, we think this is just like a small step on, you know, to the next big Amazon thing. So it'll be interesting to see if that's, you know, if that's true. And if, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, if there's, you know, a big new innovation and we see that the Dash buttons were a step on the way to that. So, you know, I thought that that came up a lot as I talked to people. So it will be interesting to see if that is in fact true.
Very good. Sharon Turlip, thank you so much for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Once again, we've been speaking to Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip. That'll do it for the Tech News Briefing for the Wall Street Journal. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.